It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Ailish Forfar, and Justin Cuthbert. Again, alongside me, I got a belly full of chicken wings and a big smile on my face from Monday Night Football last night. I don't think it could have went any better for Bills fans.
No, not much to nitpick at all. I'm starting to get the feeling that this is just going to be the norm with the Bills this year.
It's good with me.
Like, it might just be every Sunday is highly enjoyable. Like, it's not supposed to be that way. There's supposed to be some adversity.
But you just jinxed it, so.
I may have just jinxed it.
0-4 in the next month.
It goes all the way down to the punter. They have difference makers everywhere. The punter forced two fumbles with just, like, the spin of his punt. Like, dominant at every position from Josh Allen all the way down to the punter. Pretty good start for the Buffalo Bills. It can't get much better.
Pretty good start. I went all Monday Night Football mode last night, ordered chicken wings, you know, to go for the whole Buffalo.
Authentic experience.
Sure did. Got a lot of people that ask about chicken wings once you post the story. Drums or flats is the age-old question.
Are you asking me my preference?
I am.
I don't really actually have a preference.
Don't be on the fence about this. This is important.
I used to be huge flats. Like when I was younger, I hated the drums. Didn't like them. Maybe it was like the extra fattiness or cartilage aspect of it all. Ugh. But I've grown up a little bit. And I feel like both are pretty much equal.
Okay, you're going like to if eat someone your had last a chicken wing of your life. Which one is it?
Probably a premium drum is the best.
Premium, couldn't agree more.
But a drum can be hit or miss. The flat, you pretty much know what you get.
Flat is it's like a skinny wing. Matt, I don't want skinny wings. I want the bulky. If I'm having wings, I want that crispy drum that's got like the extra breaded corner.
Yeah. I mean, that is the best. But again, if like I'm with a group and someone's like, oh, I only like the drums. If there's someone like that out there, maybe you.
No, I will have you.
Then I would. We could share wings because I'd be
this
like.
That sounds good, actually.
I just take the bullet.
I would, as I said, I would have both, but I need to pick a side to be.
Could you could you have your preference at the wing joint you ordered from?
Oh yeah, no, I just give you a mixed bag.
No, I mean when you ordered it, could you be like just
no.
exclusively drums?
I'm not picky like that.
Can
but
you?
But I got
do
a couple
though?
Different flavors. I didn't even look into that. As I said, I'm not, you know.
I think
stand
you can do
mountain.
That some places, but like that would cause an issue. Like
that's what I'm
like a shortage of drums because everyone's ordering the drums.
What if last night my night football from this local establishment, 10 people call and they only want drums? What are you gonna do with all the flats? They're sitting there alone.
Like you call like a late night order and we only got flats left.
That's right.
Oh, never mind.
Text in 590-590. We already have team flats in capital letters, 6 A's.
There you go.
Dave from Niagara
Falls.
Maybe
it all balances out in the end.
Well, Dave from Niagara Falls says this. The secret to finding a partner is to find one that likes the opposite. My fiance is hardcore flats and I love my drums. Perfect relationship.
There you go.
Congrats, Dave.
What were the flavors?
Oh, I had one. When I say I don't know if I should tell where it's from. Yeah, whatever. Crown and Dragon. Wonderful local spot. I got Killer Bee, which is like sweet and stingy.
Stingy?
Like it's got the little zzz for the bee.
Like spicy?
Yeah. Okay. It's like, you know how people really like honey and
right. Hot
stuff now?
Mm-hmm.
Mardi Gras, which is like a nice Cajun rub.
Like it's so like dry?
Yeah, it was really good. Okay.
I like to mix in a dry.
A buffalo one, of course.
Yes.
It was delish.
For the Bills.
Check it out.
I have a meat story as well.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Let's give you the meat sweats.
A little hungry this morning, so stop by for a sandwich. Now, I won't name the establishment because it's a little bit more commercial. Mm. But
sellout.
The lady making the sandwich was a little distracted, and it started with lettuce, tomato, bacon, cheese, and instead of an egg, got a piece of sausage.
What?
So I was double meat on a breakfast sandwich and I...
No egg?
No, she skipped the egg.
On a breakfast sandwich? This is just a regular sandwich
then? She was so distracted that she probably thought the egg was already down.
Was it good? Did you discover something?
It was not good.
So it was a bacon sausage sandwich.
I'm usually a meat-stone clash guy. Like, yeah, load up the meat. Meat lovers pizza, whatever. It's great.
Mm-hmm. But there's something
this
else
this
on
didn't
it.
Have, you know, a magical quality to it. This was...
It didn't sound good.
This wasn't great. Not great for 5:30 in the morning.
That was this morning?
Yeah. I didn't save my...
I see.
I didn't save my meat story. Told it right away.
Well, the secret to doing the early morning show is that you don't eat until after, because now you're going to be hungry in 3 hours because your stomach is cooking, your metabolism's going. You're going to be... Yeah. By the end of the show, you're going to be famished again, so...
I'm...
Figure it out.
Not preparing very well these first 2 days here this week.
Just rolling out.
Normally, there's like something prepared, ready to go. I can bring it in if I'm hungry.
Like an overnight oats?
Exactly. Overnight oats is a good way to start your day, healthy. Definitely better than double meat breakfast sandwich.
Couldn't agree more.
So yeah, a little desperate this morning.
Double meat for you this morning. Congratulations on
how many pounds?
I shared 3 pounds.
Shared 3 pounds.
I didn't eat. I probably had one.
Do the quick math there.
Anyway, I'd love to see where we're at with the 595-90 text line. We'll take a little team vote. If your drumsticks, if your flats, if you're in a perfect relationship where you can share both. Another perfect relationship. Allen and Diggs.
Good segue.
Best QB tandem. Wide receiver duo in the league. It's just, it's not even close. There's no argument to be made from this. Last night was...
like the perfect example of that?
Like, it's so much so that it's almost difficult to evaluate how this team is going to, how anyone's going to stop this duo.
Yeah, it's...
It was automatic.
It was automatic. And I don't know if that says more about the Titans than it does, like, the partnership itself. But this has always been a profitable partnership. And you're probably right. This probably is the best quarterback-wide receiver tandem
probably.
In the league.
Probably. Who else would... I know you're big on Tua, Tyreek, because...
No. Not Tua. Just the two. Hill and Waddle. I want Ross Tucker said it. I was the first to say it, and I'm gonna be tracking this now because I firmly believe that those are the best two weapons. But mm-hmm. Tua cannot compare to Josh Allen. But Stephon Diggs is not like a superstar receiver in that like he doesn't have these like obvious skills. Like he's not a burner. He doesn't fly by you like Tyreek Hill. He's not big, but he runs amazing routes. He's got amazing hands. And he's got this amazing partnership with Josh Allen. And he absolutely dominated that game. Of course, together they dominated mm-hmm. that game. And I have such an appreciation for him because he does it. He's like a pure receiver. He does it based on like the old school way of about it. It's mm-hmm. not about just like this overwhelming athleticism. It's a receiver through and through to the core doing wide receiver things the way wide receiver things should be done. And when you got a guy like Josh Allen who can hang in the pocket and so strong and is reading the field so well and has that connection with Stephon Diggs, I mean, it's really, really difficult to stop. And there are weapons galore. It's not like this like crazy, over-the-top Pro Bowl type of offense, aside from those two. But even then, if you give more help to whoever is covering Stephon Diggs, it doesn't seem to matter. And despite not having that like overwhelming athleticism, he still got by the defense mm-hmm. twice, and they went over the top for touchdowns. It's crazy how good they are.
It is crazy how good they look right now. I think a lot of credit to be given to the Bills because they play opening Thursday night football against defending Super Bowl champs, and they steamroll them.
Mm-hmm.
They play Monday night football the next week against the team that was given, you know, one of the best preseason looks. They were supposed to be one of the strongest teams.
I mean, they were the top team in the AFC last year.
Exactly.
I think they're very fraudulent.
I think that they, yes, but this is what on paper and coming in.
But you prove someone's fraudulent.
Exactly, by doing so.
And you prove that you're the elite of the elite in the AFC, and that's exactly what happened.
They are playing with this level of confidence, this freeness, this loose, fun, locked-in mentality. To go up in those two spots to start your season when you have all of the pressure in the world on your shoulders, that this is going to be... You guys are the Super Bowl favorites. This is your year. Your entire... Every montage of Bills Mafia is we've been waiting forever for this. We remember that stretch of time where we were in back-to-back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl championships. We know what it's like to lose. And this is it. This is it. Like Josh Allen talking about how much this community means to him and how much they want to win for this community. And they go out and they absolutely dominate without a question the first two matchups, which are huge, and look like there's not even a wavering in their confidence in themselves. That's scary. Like for any opponent coming in to play the Buffalo Bills, I don't see, and we're going to have a couple guests on this today, Ty Dunn, especially, who's all over the Bills. I don't see where the, where if you're an opposing team, like what are you trying to find cracks in right now? This team looks unstoppable.
Here's the scary, scary thing. And we'll ask Ty about it. I'm not sure the offense is the strength of this team. Like MVP front runner quarterback, maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL, Stephon Diggs. We'll call it an improved running game, it seems like, although there were, it wasn't exactly firing on all cylinders, but Titans have a pretty good run defense, at least I think. But when you look at the defensive side of the ball, there are playmakers everywhere. They just sat Von Miller for what, a quarter and a half because they didn't need to play him anymore, and you're trying to reserve what you have from him. And you can do that because you have a rotation of, what, five, six pass rushers that can absolutely dominate and make Ryan Tannehill look like he doesn't belong in the league anymore. Then all these playmakers on the back end, linebackers doing their job, Milano with, you know, pick six, should have had another one right after.
He was incredible on D.
Like, they just look, I'm not convinced that the strength of this team isn't their defense, and that is a pretty good combination when you have such an explosive offense. Again, the MVP front runner and a guy, Josh Allen, who is a unicorn in this league in many ways, didn't need to run the ball at all, but hey, he's got that in his back pocket when push comes to shove. You know, the last couple of years, people have been very, very high on the Bills and deservedly so. They could have won the Super Bowl last year. That heartbreaking loss in the AFC title game happened. But like, this is as strong as they've ever been. And this is as good of a year as has ever been for them to give their fans what they deserve.
Let me read to you what the Bills held Titans to after that first opening drive touchdown. These are their next plays. Punt, punt, end of half, punt, punt, interception, interception, punt, fumble, punt. Derrick Henry held to 25 yards on 13 carries.
Now, again, I don't know if that's because of the, well, it obviously is because of the Bills in some way, but I think Derrick Henry is completely washed now.
He
suffered
not
that season-ending-ish injury last year. I think he came back in the playoffs, but rushed back. Does not look like he's the same Derrick Henry.
And they have no firepower outside of him.
And they got rid of AJ Brown in the offs. Like the Titans, in terms of like future bets, I didn't do much with like totals or miss the playoffs, make the playoffs. The one bet I laid, actually there was two. One of the two that I laid was Titans not to make the playoffs. And they have a chance because that division's so bad, but they were just prime regression candidate. They were playing over their heads last year, getting the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, I think we're going to be looking back on that, wondering how that was even possible based on this season, because they look like they're ready for a full rebuild. And I think it's somewhat self-inflicted. You just gave away AJ Brown because you didn't want to pay him. And look what he's doing with Philadelphia. We can get to them in a second. But that was the case of two teams in completely different, going in completely different directions, completely different trajectories. The Bills is a meteoric trajectory, it looks like, right now.
Their next matchup against the Dolphins on Sunday, that would be a big game.
That's a huge game.
Huge. So this is it. You start your season off with two incredible wins where it's difficult to find anything but praise. So much so you're up so much your quarterback doesn't have to play the end of the game. You're taking out your vets. Like, those are the confidence levels that you want from a team with such high expectations. But you're going to play the Dolphins on Sunday. This is where all of that talk and everything that you've done for the last 2 weeks needs to be put into practice against an opponent that really does matter.
And I guess my theory will be tested that the defense is maybe better than the offense, because As we know, Tua can sling it around. Mm-hmm. They got those two receivers. Difficult matchup. Of course, for Buffalo, there's a lot to deal with from Miami's point of view offensively. But Lamar Jackson torched them last week.
It's going to be so good.
So Allen should be able to feast again. That's I think, the game of the weekend without really... I think Tampa and Green Bay mm-hmm. is also on the slate. I'm more here for Buffalo-Miami. I think that's the game of the weekend.
Nice 1 o'clock viewing as well. Kick mm-hmm. off your day. Last thing from Bills, I think. Hoping the best for Dane Jackson. That was super scary. Going to the hospital after that neck injury. Sounds like things are moving in the right direction. He was able to move his extremities. He's getting a CT scan and an X-ray today, but never like to see that in football. Tough to rebound from that and continue to play. But update on him this morning was that promising signs, at least, that he's going to be good. On the other side, we had doubleheader last night.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, can we just do that every Monday?
I really enjoyed that. Except at the end of the...
Even the overlap was great.
Yeah,
It
was actually kind of perfect.
It was nice.
Both games were in different stages at that point,
yeah,
right? You
yeah.
could kind of flipping over to a game that isn't a blowout yet.
Right. Oh, well, the last thing on the Bills, hold on. We won our same game parlay.
We sure did.
I mean, if you had to take out Gabe Davis, because, you know, the listeners were right. He was questionable mm-hmm. and he was inactive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did take him out, we nailed the game script. We nailed the game script. Bills destroy. They were so good that the over
Ross
was
Tucker.
Definitely in play.
I don't know if they're going to cover, Ross.
Oh, they covered. That was a good one. So we'll keep on with the same game on Thursday. We'll see if we can hit. We obviously missed in the Eagles and Vikings, but if we can go 2 for 3 this week, that'd be great.
And I missed my lock, so I'm fine. We can move on for Ailish providing locks. You know why?
No. You can miss on a lock.
You know
it's
why? I should have known this. I forgot that Kirk Cousins is literally the worst primetime athlete of all time.
I did remind you about that.
I had already said it, spoke it with my heart.
It's true.
He is...
Once a lock is in, it's a lock.
Crumble City. The guy is shaking in his sneakers the second that he's on any mm-hmm. type of broadcast where the entire world is watching. He's just...
Pretty difficult to win a
Choke
Super Bowl
City.
if you can't perform in primetime games.
What a disaster.
They're played in primetime. It was a disaster. But, I don't know, my biggest takeaway from that game is that the Eagles are legit. Like, the Eagles, I think the Eagles are the best team
Did
in the
NFC. Did we just see the two Super Bowl teams playing
I think it's
in
possible.
One evening?
I think it's very, very possible.
I seriously think so.
Because, like, I don't know, the nitty-gritty of offensive line play, I'm not in tune with that. But Jalen Hurts had all day to do whatever he wanted mm-hmm. yesterday. And that's because his offensive line protected him in a way that Josh Allen doesn't get. Kirk Cousins certainly didn't get. Ryan Tannehill, forget about it. Like, Jalen Hurts was performing in a clean pocket the entire night. He had 300 total yards in the first half, 3 touchdowns. I mean, he's going to be the fantasy king this year, I think, just because of that dual threat action and because of that offensive line giving him all the space to do everything. And just like the Bills, they've got a dominant defensive core as well.
And their defense is their asset.
And Darius Slay shutting down. Like, you can
Slay!
Shut down. This is all about the receiver, right? The NFL, all about the receiver. He went out there and shut down who many think is the best receiver in the NFL right now, and Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can take away Jefferson from the Vikings, you can take away many of the best players from many of the best offenses around the league. And that's going to set you up for success in a bad conference, in a bad division. The Eagles might just cruise to the best record in the NFL, or at least the NFC.
Last night watching, I thought, wow, Jalen Hurts has officially arrived as this franchise QB. Last year, I think when you evaluated where the Eagles were, they had really strong defense, and they continued to upgrade that. Run game is strong. They just very balanced and a very talented roster. Like, there's not like the one or two superstars that you think of when you think of the Eagles. But if you look at what Jalen Hurts has done to escalate his standing on this team, I don't know what their weakness is now. It was the passing game. I think Jalen Hurts looks like he's taken, I mean, it's two games, but taken a lot of steps forward. They look like they're buying into this type of play. What is the weakness for the Eagles? for them to get there.
The only weakness coming into the season was the quarterback.
And now,
was like, when it comes down to playing an elite defense, mm-hmm. can he be a guy that puts the ball into tight windows?
Looks like it.
Can he make the right decisions? He's a guy that wasn't really thought of as a legitimate mm-hmm. NFL prospect. And the developmental curve, we got two NFL guests on today, as we mentioned, Ty Dunn and Sam Acho, we're going to have on later. We have to ask them about his progression from, mid-round, or was he second-round pick, I think? Like, just like, you know, what, sixth, seventh, eighth quarterback off the board in his draft year? I'm not sure exactly what it is, but if you're chosen in the second round, there were many guys before you, to a guy who could maybe be the MVP. And if you're looking at betting takeaways after last night, like, there's a lot of positive ones with Philly. Could Hurts win the MVP?
Second round draft. I just looked it up.
Mm-hmm. Could Hurts win the MVP? Maybe. He's going to have the numbers. Could Sirianni win Coach of the Year? Yeah, if they win 15 games. And then if you look at Justin Jefferson, I've been all over him for Offensive Player of the Year, but if he can be shut down by Darius Slay, he's not the automatic guy like Cooper Kupp is. So I think we learned a lot. It was very instructive, I think, that second game. I think the Eagles are going to be looked at a lot differently, and the Vikings maybe the same way that they have been the last couple of years, even despite the coaching change, because not much really changed.
Can you imagine an Eagles-Bills Super Bowl? How the country, the United States on that one?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it's better. It's almost better for us because there's a lot of Bills interest here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think the Bills are... I think there's a market for the Bills.
Up here, of course.
No, I mean in the States. Oh. I think Josh Allen's marketable, and like they respect what the tables and the party atmosphere and everything. Of course they do. But Buffalo's not the biggest market in the world.
I think it's
certainly.
I was watching the Bills last night and immediately was like, okay, which game am I going to? And circled a few on my calendar and I'm making it happen. It's tough with our schedule, but
which ones you got?
The first one that looks like an incredible viewing experience was December 18th, Bills Dolphins. Currently undetermined what time it will be because they're gonna do a little flex schedule. But
see if Hill and Waddle can hang in wintry conditions.
That's good. There's no Leafs. I don't have the Raptors schedule up, but like a Sunday afternoon head to Buffalo, winter, real authentic experience.
Yeah, if I'm going, it has to be the winter.
Yeah.
Experience. It's got to be the snowy tailgate, snow coming down preferably. That's when I would want to go to a Bills game.
You gotta do
again,
it right.
I've never been, and it might have to happen this year.
You got to do it authentically. Lots to look forward to. We'll keep setting up NFL. We have two NFL guests, as we mentioned. It's only Tuesday. We could start with Thursday night football coming up this weekend, and obviously week three ahead. But we have Blair and Barker going to have John Schneider on weekly for a hit. It's a big
decent get.
Not a big deal. So they had him on yesterday, Blue Jays manager. They're headed to the city of brotherly love. Didn't really know that was a thing. Danielle wrote it in here. I thought that's kind of nice. So John Schneider was on Blair and Barker yesterday. You can always check that podcast out where we get your pods, download, give them some love and support. And I guess one of the biggest questions that we've been proposing, and it's seemingly more and more locked in, is Alek Manoah being that number one starter in a postseason mm-hmm. berth.
I mean, this is an assumption we've been working on for,
I think it's, yes,
a long time.
A little while. Yeah. And every time you see Alek Manoah, you think, well, I think, feeling like that's more and more the case. So they had John Schneider on and asked him a little bit about how they would, and if he would, prioritize Manoah's postseason game one starting and how they would go approach that.
He's definitely shown us he can adjust whether he's on normal rest or, you know, I think in a perfect world, you give him and you give everyone a little bit of extra rest if you can, and then just kind of use them as needed down the stretch. So we're going to be deliberate with, you know, everything in terms of how he's feeling, when he's scheduled to throw, what's going on around the league, all that kind of stuff. So if we can get him some extra rest, we definitely will.
So to me, like, that seems for sure that they're tipping their hand a bit at him being the guy that they're going to put in the position to start, deliberate with everything, use him as needed down the stretch, mm-hmm. that makes these next couple games even more important to have that cushion that if you're going into that final weekend ahead to wrap up the season, that you're not needing to put Alek Manoah on the mound to win a game, that you can start to structure it enough that you can give him enough rest.
Yeah. I mean, it is one of the luxuries of, the Orioles lost again last night, the Rays lost again. So the Jays, you know, gain a half game on, you know, just getting into the playoffs. But I think as we mentioned yesterday, we're sort of beyond that, right? So it's preparing and trying to set yourself up for success once you get to the postseason. However, there is that carrot of, you know, can we get the home field advantage mm-hmm. here early, which I think is still very, very important. So you have to balance the priorities. But I think, you know, they're so far ahead in all this. If you can get them some rest, great. If you can, you know, just have them out there for fewer innings in a couple starts down the stretch. Whatever you have to do to get Alek Manoah right or Alek Manoah feeling his best, but they don't have to scratch and claw. And maybe there is a team that has to scratch and claw and use their starter that they would use in game one or game two of the postseason on the last day of the regular season just to try and get in. And of course, that puts you at a pretty severe disadvantage. So the Blue Jays are not going to have that problem, it looks like. However, I don't know if they're going to be in a position where they can just mail it in down the stretch and then accept going on the road to start the playoffs, right? So it's interesting in that sense.
I will say something that I've always believed in, and maybe it's because I try to convince myself in these situations as well, is that a team that's fighting for something that week before the playoffs often has a little bit more of an edge sometimes going into a postseason. Yeah. Whereas the Yankees, for example, they coasted for quite a while this summer, and look how it showed up in their performance. They were over a dozen games ahead of the Yankees for the top of the mm-hmm. of the division over the Jays, sorry. And that dwindled a lot. I don't know if that's foot off the gas pedal, but there's something
to
be said about a team like the Blue Jays that have been hustling, a team like the Orioles all summer long that mm-hmm. had this thing that was happening, and it was this miraculous baseball story, and they were, why don't we go for it? There's teams that fight tooth and nail to get into the postseason, to get into the playoffs, to get into the wild card, that sometimes I think that can be an advantage for a team that has to dig deep, find a way to win. The Blue Jays have notoriously found a way to win from behind really well this season. That's a lot of character that's developed. So if the Blue Jays are coming down the stretch here where they have to win, I don't know, 10 out of 18 games mm-hmm. to give them home field advantage, and they see that as a goal and an attainable goal, that victory of that, in a sense, can be what pushes a team over the edge a little bit more in terms of confidence. On the other end, if you're already locked in and secured, and you can play around with your starting rotation, you can rest guys, there's a lot to be said about that. So maybe it's just the athlete in me that I know that having something to chase going into the playoffs gives you that momentum that we're a team, we have to really come together and achieve this if we want to have a longer season.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think the Orioles severely, severely overachieving this year was probably the best thing that could have happened to the Blue Jays, because they had to flip the switch when when we flipped the calendar from August mm-hmm. to September. I think they had to have a bit of a renewed focus, and they had to really fire up the engine, for lack of a better term. They had to get themselves straightened out earlier than later. And when you do that, you put yourself in a position to continue building on what was improved performance. So I think the fact that they're in a good spot because they were pushed early, mm-hmm. they overcame a little bit of a hurdle with the Orioles. They're still in a race, so the incentive is still there. And, you know, the Yankees are still there. If they can get in that big series and they pull within a couple games before that or in the lead up to that, then maybe you have different expectations when that series does arrive, and maybe there's something else that can push you and spur you along. But for now, I think you got to put yourself in the best position for the postseason without sacrificing game one, game two, game three. Mm-hmm. And of course, John Schneider and the Blue Jays staff will figure that out.
They have 15 games left. They start a 2-game road trip against the Phillies today. Then they're back for 4 games against the Rays, and then a huge series at home against the Yankees, 3 games.
Yeah, so win 4 or 5 of the next 6, perhaps.
Then you got Yankees
split.
Then you have Red Sox, three games.
Then maybe you have that, you can go into that Yankee series thinking something else is possible. Mm-hmm. But again, just putting yourself in the best position for the playoffs is most likely probably getting that top wild card seed. So don't lose sight of that.
Yeah, I think they're putting themselves in the best position they can at this moment. With Alec Manoah playing the way he is, you're feeling confident about Kevin Gausman being that number two. It's the debate that we've had about who's going to start.
We've been asking everyone, but I don't know if I've heard your opinion on that.
I think if I had an opinion and who would start game three, would be Ross Stripling.
Yeah, without a doubt for me too.
I'm very much in the, you know what, I'll give a disclaimer too, though. I do believe a lot of this depends on the matchup. We don't know who they're playing. We don't know where they're playing. That's obviously a factor you can't consider right now. But if in a perfect bubble world and it's starting today and everyone's in the same boat, it's Ross Stripling for me. He's just been steady, consistent, reliable. And I can confidently say that Jose Berríos seems like he's turned the corner a bit and has mm-hmm. strung together a lot of consistent starts, but it's hot hand for me. It's the playoffs. It's a must win. I try to think outside of the realm of who you're paying what and how long this player's been in this franchise and what their role was coming in. It is who are you putting in this position that is in the best moment of their season. And right now, for me, that's Ross Stripling.
I think it's about like what to expect for the coaching staff, for the fans, but more importantly, the teammates. Like if you put Ross Stripling on the mound, I think you can feel confident as a team that you're going to be in this game no matter what. You're going to be competitive. If you don't have a good first at bat, it's not going to matter because Ross Stripling is going to keep you guys in the game and they're going to have a chance to win. I think that doesn't mean that Berríos can't do that, but I feel like in that sort of game where things are going to be very, very tense, if it is a third game mm-hmm. of that wildcard series, things are going to be, you know, emotions, stress, tension, all of it is going to be at an all-time high. And I think he gives you the best chance to win a game on average in that situation. And then if all goes well and Manoah's not ready yet based on the timing, Berríos in game one mm-hmm. is not a bad thing.
No. And we get to see Ross Stripling tonight. He's on the bump to start the Phillies series against Kyle Gibson. And then tomorrow it'll be Kevin Gausman and Zach Wheeler. So some pretty good opportunities here to see how the recency bias looks with the Toronto Blue Jays. I think that they're going to get through the rotation maybe at least two more times with 15 games left. And then that last little stretch is when they could be doing some tinkering depending on how mm-hmm. the next 10 games go. But Ross Stripling right now, like in this exact moment, would be the guy. But I do think that's interesting, you know, maybe when we get closer to knowing how this playoff series or where the Blue Jays are going to stand is how you actually structure. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. Obviously, Manoah game one. I don't think there's a question about that. But do you go with your next best pitcher game two? Or do you save them for a possible game three where you need win? Like, there's a lot of questions that go into how you structure a three-game back-to-back-to-back wild card mm-hmm. series, which isn't traditionally how it goes back-to-back-to-back in one place. Manoah, I think, easy game one. But let's say the Blue Jays lose game one.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, then you're going to put Kevin Gausman in. If the Blue Jays win game one, do you save maybe Kevin Gausman for game three? There's a lot of questions that I've even heard Blair and Barker. Kind of is going to depend who you're pitching against, which the team is. Yeah. Like, you know, hot hand. It's very interesting to think this far ahead, but those will be questions we'll have.
Well, we've been tossing around the phrase bird in hand. I think the bird in hand is probably Kevin Gausman game two either way. Like, you can't prepare in that short of a series.
You don't want to prepare to lose, for sure.
You can't, you know, become complacent. You can't get cute with it. I think you have to put the pitcher on the mound that puts you in the best position to win each game.
Mm-hmm.
We know that
so
starts
you would
with
do
Manoah.
A 1-2-3.
Gausman's your second best pitcher, and I think we both agree that Stripling puts them in the best position mm-hmm. to win Game Three. And then you got Berríos out of the pen if you need him.
I've heard the similar line of thinking, but Berríos to start Game Three with the idea that Stripling can come in and really give you some length. But that's also the mentality of well, if Berríos blows it, you have a backup.
I just think there's a demoralizing thing about things not going right early.
Mm-hmm. And putting someone into clean up.
Like it can affect the rest of the game. I feel like starting Stripling is the safer option there. But hey, maybe you need Berríos to get you out of jam in game two. Maybe game two is tied late in the game and you need to soak up multiple innings from someone, and maybe Berríos is, that's the best possible way to use him. It's a nice little trump card to have.
It is.
That your opening day starter is kind of a little bit of a weapon. You can weaponize him in this series if you choose to save him and start Stripling in game three, if there is a game three.
All this depends on how today and the next stretch goes for the Blue Jays. They're back in action after a rest day, a travel day. Starting today, a two-game series with the Phillies. We'll set that up a little later in the show. We got a former World Series champion on the show, Ryan Dempster, who's going to talk a little pitching with us, former MLB pitcher, two-time All-Star. He's going to join us later this morning. But we'll do the A-list next. Got a couple fun audio clips for you. Austin Matthews, once again, getting viral in the Twitter sphere. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
On the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Justin Cuthbert, alongside me, Ailish Forfar. It's time for the A-List.
Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Yesterday, I played a clip from Tim and Friends, where Austin Matthews was asked about the goal song, and it caused a lot of stir online. Because he said, oh, you know, could be interested in a new one. And then I think every single content producer and sports broadcaster spent the entire day deciding, well, if they were to change it, what would it be? We had some great advice. We had some great intake. And we'll never know if they'll ever know if they ever will take any of our suggestions into hand. But next day, Austin Matthews is again in the media for a fun little media tour clip that came out. So, you know, how everybody was in Vegas for player tour. The NHL TikTok account posted the following clip of Austin Matthews.
My favorite thing about hockey is just that it feels like hockey.
Okay, this has got to be some, like, TikTok trend or something. Like, this has to be something that I don't understand, because I don't get what he's getting. Like, I saw this, and
my
I was
like, my
favorite
thing about hockey is that it feels like hockey, Justin.
There's got to be something to this that I...
What's
that
your favorite thing about hockey?
It's a good question.
That's why it's tough to answer.
But I would never say that it feels like hockey, because it is hockey. I think we're missing something. The Youngs have done something.
I am a youngin', and I have discovered what we're missing.
Okay. So
I did investigative journalism because this started to blow up, and I thought, there's no way Austin Matthews is that bland. You know, he's got something up his sleeve, you know? Like, he wouldn't just say that. I believe in Austin Matthews to have more inside his head than... This is what I like about hockey, is that it feels like hockey. So I did some investigative journalism, and yes, this was a sneaky little poking fun at Harry Styles. Now, Harry Styles was promoting his new, this movie sounds incredible, by the way, this new psychological thriller.
I heard it was terrible.
It looks amazing. I don't know anything about it. If it was...
Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's taken over the social media. Well, that
Olivia
thing is
Wilde
a life of its
him,
own.
You know? Anyway, so Austin Matthews is poking fun at Harry Styles, who was at a premiere and was asked about the movie, and this was his answer.
My favorite thing about the movie is, like, it feels like a movie. It feels like a real, like, you know, go to the theater film movie that, you know, you kind of, the reason why you go.
So everybody, lay off the chirps, because he's actually galaxy-brained us all.
Harry's got to lay off whatever he was indulging in there.
Harry was in one. My favorite thing about the show, Justin, is that it feels like the show. My favorite thing about the radio is that it feels like the radio.
I'll give Matthews credit then. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, right? Props to him. I feel like I had to help raise awareness, though, because it was...
No, I think you did the public pretty good service here, because I feel like this was... If you were not in the know, and we both weren't, that just looks ridiculous. It was just such a weird comment. And no one explained it that I saw. Again, I didn't dig in too deep about it, but it's actually pretty clever.
As a millennial, that is part of my role.
Man, the Matthews content is like Media Day is tomorrow.
Yeah, we haven't even
and
got it all.
This is a whole lead up of Matthews making news every day here. I'm sure they're going to be, not to go back to the goal song, apologize, but I'm sure that's going to be like topic one at Media Day for the Leafs, which is
not
awful.
Like, what'd you do this offseason? What are you looking forward to? What do you want to change the song to?
Every player is going to be asked that.
They better have their answers. My favorite thing about the goal song is that it feels like the goal song.
Like the goal song.
Okay, let's keep with sound bites. College football's been electric. I don't know if you indulge, but if you haven't, you've seen it all over the internet because there's been some incredible, incredible moments. App State, Mountaineers, the sweethearts of NCAA football. They start their season off with an incredible upset of Texas A&M. They're then put in position the next week to be on ESPN's College Game Day. It's a big, big spot to be in. They're playing the Troy Trojans, and it seems like things are out of reach. The game is slipping from their fingers. This is the final play call from the local App State radio team.
Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggled.
I don't think I've ever been excited about anything in my life like those guys are excited about that Hail Mary.
They like slow played it too. Like they were not expecting any. They were kind of like in the doldrums, upset. They didn't expect anything from that play.
Yes, if you watch the video of them on the radio, they're just like, and here goes the last play of the game, and you know,
I mean, they jump out of their skin perfectly, but they should have at least some sort of baseline level of excitement on the last play of the game when there's a chance. No,
there was no chance,
but there was. It's a Hail Mary.
Yeah,
if you can get it to the end zone, there's a chance.
It's a 53-yard tip trail Hail Mary that gave them the 32-28 win over Troy. Chase Bryce, QB. Now people think that App State's actually going to potentially make the playoffs.
No.
Oh, I'm saying.
There's no chance. Oh,
there's a chance for everything,
Justin.
Only four
teams make the playoff. Even if they ran, if they were a perfect record, they wouldn't get it.
How about this? Sports Illustrated, wait for it,
Sun Belt Conference.
No one in the Sun Belt Conference is going to the playoff. Our college football playoff, our mock 12 team bracket says yes.
Okay, they haven't done 12 yet.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
We got to wait till we get 12. We're still at four. But like, imagine that's the problem with 12 is that you're going to have the Sun Belt winner in and they're going to draw Alabama or the equivalent to Alabama.
App State's my favorite school in the States besides Dartmouth.
They're going to have less a chance to win a game against an SEC team or an elite SEC team in a playoff than they did completing that Hail Mary.
I love it. Football, it's a beautiful sport because anything can happen. And I want more calls like that.
I mean, there's something about App State. They beat Michigan in that like epic upset many years ago. And they beat Texas A&M already this year, which is a legit team or a legit program. So it's like your lock. There's a little mystique until there isn't.
It's like the St. Peter's Peacocks last year in the NCAA men's bracket that just kept rolling. There was something about the Peacocks. Everybody believed in the Peacocks. Now it's the App State
Mountaineers.
We'll be Canada's foremost App State show. I'll let you know when their next Hail Mary is. Speaking of football fans. Yep. Cowboys were excited to win their first game of the season after they failed to beat Tom Brady in the Bucs. They upset the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, things are pretty big in the States. People celebrate pretty hard.
Pretty big in Texas.
A Dallas fan was seen riding his horse through a Texas Walmart wearing a Dak Prescott jersey and a cowboy hat. Roaming the aisles in on a horse, a real-life horse, through the aisles of a real-life Walmart, just browsing, picking up cereal, whatever he needed for that day. Nobody kicks this guy out. First of all,
he wasn't celebrating? I thought that was...
Oh, both. But yeah, he was picking up some stuff he needed.
He's just running errands on the horse.
He was running errands on a horse in a Dak Prescott jersey. The horse has a blue tail, like it's been, it's been dyed. The nice white horse.
That's kind of alligator-esque.
Yes.
And maybe we shouldn't be exploiting the animals.
It's a mystical-looking horse. But just strolling through the, that's America for you.
Yeah, it is.
And everyone's just like, hey, great horse.
Getting real excited after beating the Bengals with Cooper Rush. I mean, the Bengals, we thought the Bengals were supposed to be something of consequence, but maybe not after losing to the Cowboys and Cooper Rush. I like the errands aspect of it, though, like multitasking.
Yeah, you might as well pick up a few things.
But we need, cereal for the next morning.
Imagine the cashier that's like, would you like a bag for 5 cents, sir?
I don't know how he or she would reach up. I don't know how it would go through the, how would you go through the
cash? It's actually pretty nimble. I'm watching a video.
It's an impressive horse.
Because horses, like.
Should be treated better than blue dye.
Yeah. It just makes me think of when you're downtown in Toronto and you see the police officers riding the horse,
mm-hmm.
and they always seem to have to go to the bathroom right there.
Yep.
Whenever you're strolling. This definitely happened in this Walmart. There's no way that this horse strolled the...
Could be trained well.
The aisles.
Only outside.
That's tough.
That's a tough cleanup.
You're like starting your first shift at Walmart. Like, hey, Justin.
Who let the horse in?
Do you mind a clean up in aisle 6? And you're like, okay. Like,
oh, spilled milk? Whatever. No.
That's tough. I don't think I've ever seen it. Like, I've seen celebrations that have been good, but I've never seen anything of that sort.
Is there a video of it?
Yeah.
How you brought it up?
Send you some videos.
Yeah, send it to me.
Yesterday, this was fun too. Baltimore Orioles lost dramatically last night. And so I always think that it must suck to be a social media manager when your team loses. Like, you have to post the final score graphic, right? You're like, mm-hmm. All right, well, we lost. Last night, the Orioles lost 11-0 to the Detroit Tigers, who have an abysmal record, 11-0. So to post their final graphic, they didn't post, like, final score. They posted a Where's Waldo?
Mm-hmm.
You remember the fun books, Where's Waldo, where it's all the people and colors, and they're walking around, and, there's the stripes and everything. They posted the score hidden in the Where's Waldo graphic, and you have to actually find it. I thought it was amazing.
Looking at it now. I cannot find it.
Yeah, well, you suck, so take a look. you have to actually, like, really... Now I can only see it because I found it, but, like, you have to actually look for this. I thought that was really, really smart. It was really witty. It was a fun idea. Obviously, got a lot of attention online, but...
I mean, it's a tougher job, too, because you got to do it 162 times.
Yeah.
Something creative, 160 every day. Mm-hmm. You got to come up with something.
This is good.
This is really good.
This is a win. A moral win for the Orioles that couldn't get a...
Yeah, they've had a good season.
You know what? I agree. There was a stretch there where the Jays were playing pretty poorly, and I felt for their social media who had to be like, final. And then every comment is like, what's going on with this team?
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to post it. Like, there's nothing you can do about it, but this is fun. Made me think of that book that I used to have when you're, like, growing up in elementary school and you go to the library, and it was I Spy.
Okay.
And it was like, it looked like...
Are you too young for actual Where's Waldo books?
No, I have Where's Waldo too, but do you remember I Spy?
Not really.
Oh.
But, Continue your story.
You know what? No, it's fine. I just missed the school. I wish that there was a Scholastic book fair for adults.
I mean, I'd be down with that.
I absolutely loved the Scholastic
book fair. That was a big day.
It was my favorite. You get a little bit of money from your parents and you're buying fun erasers and stuff.
Because we got like a little bit of cash for that. Like, how much is that running parents nowadays? They probably hate it.
They hate it.
They need like $80 to get something.
100%. They need like...
I'd be like, come on, dude.
You know what they're going? They're getting like iPad covers now. There's not even books in there.
No, it's lost its soul.
There's like, you want an Apple
no more
iPen?
Book fair.
Yeah. We had a good... Go in the smell of books. Like
there's like a coffee mug with like the heated thing. It's like it's just. Yeah.
I've seen those.
It's
a couple $100.
I'm sure it's not good anymore.
Honestly, if you're listening and you have children, please text in. Is there a Scholastic book fair, please?
And how much are you?
How much do you have to dish out
to your kid for them to have a decent time?
If they still have it, I would love to know because I used to just get like the cool like the scented pencils and like you know it was like.
Oh, yeah.
$6 in total for everything I purchased.
That was might have been on the high end.
Sutton Public School, Scholastic Book Fair. Those are the days.
There you go.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to talk to Ty Dunn after the break, our insider. Talk a little bit of those Buffalo Bills, baby. Looking good after 2 weeks. Who can stop them? Let's see. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.